Because we're here we go. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? We had some technical difficulties. It was my fault, so apologize for that. I'm excited about the Christmas season, aren't you? Christmas is a wonderful time, and it's not just because of the lights and because of the gifts and because of the tree and because you started listening to Christmas music back in November. Anybody out there? That's my wife. But Christmas is a time where we remember Jesus. And I love that you guys are going through a series that's called The Truth About Christmas. And last week you talked about Christmas is a time of celebration. You talked about, you celebrated the truth that God loves you. And I just want you to know in the room, if you've never heard that before, that is the truth. That is not just a statement. God loves you. The you that no one knows about, the you when you're all by yourself, God still loves that you. He loves you. So we celebrated that. We celebrate the truth that God is with you, and you celebrated the truth that God is for you. Christmas, it's a time of celebration. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, my daughter and I were coming back from Texas. From Texas, God's country, amen. Thank you. You said amen to that. I was wondering if you would. And as we're coming through the New Mexico line over into Arizona, coming back, we had a wonderful time with my family. It was about 8:30 at night, and we were right outside of a little small town there, about 5 miles outside of it, going about 65 miles an hour, pitch black. Pretty close to Sholo, so you know what I'm saying. A bull elk runs right in front of my pickup. I should say he walked right in front of my pickup. Really couldn't see him. Nothing I could do. Matter of fact, I barely hit the brakes. It happened so fast. And this bull elk that I hit the front of my pickup on to the roof of my pickup and the hood and rolled off, hit the side. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I just drove 9 hours. I'm in Arizona. I only got 3.5 hours left. I'm right here in Springerville, and I hit a bull elk. Well, I get on the phone with 911, and I'm talking with a DPS officer. He tells me to keep driving about 5 miles, pull into the nearest gas station, and I just wait for him to arrive. Well, the adrenaline was flowing, if you know what I mean. I'm like, what just happened? This happened so fast. This bull elk was massive. On my side of the truck, as soon as we hit him, I could see his big rack, and then my daughter could see his hind end on the other side. This thing could have literally smashed our vehicle. I do not know how that did not happen. Well, it smashed our vehicle, but it didn't get to us. Thank you, Jesus. And in that moment, as I'm sitting there at the gas station, I'm looking at my daughter. She's safe. The windshield didn't break somehow. I'm thinking, man, God just really protected us. He really, really saved us. DPS officer wouldn't let us drive home. Whole front of my truck smashed. $25,000 worth of damage so far. We go to the hotel, and I look at my daughter, and, you know, when something like that happens, you know, after all the adrenaline is gone, you're just thinking, man, this could have been a really bad moment, but God saved us. And so I told my daughter Jacqueline, who's sitting over here, let's just pray to God and thank him right now. Because this could have been a way worse situation. In that moment, I thought about how he saved us. Salvation kind of just came through my mind. As in that moment, I felt I got saved by God in that moment for something that could have really been bad. It was a time of reflection. It was a time of remembrance. And today I want to talk about how Christmas is a time of salvation. For those of you that are in the room, you might know Jesus already, but this is going to be a time of reflection for you, a time of remembrance. So I hope that you will open your heart and your mind and you'll let the Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak into you. I believe he has something for you this morning. There may be someone in the room. This may be your first time hearing about salvation. I want you also, I'm going to ask you, please have your heart open and your mind open to what salvation is, because Christmas is a time about salvation. You know, from the very moment Christmas was on God's mind, because you were on his mind. Christmas was just the beginning of a plan to rescue us from a thing called sin. So I'm going to look at Galatians chapter 4, 4 through 7. If you have your Bible or your digital device, just go ahead and open that up right now. And I also want to welcome everybody that's online. So glad that you're here watching right now. Here's what it says. It's an amazing verse. It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And someone say amen if you know Jesus in the room. Because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. This verse is pointing to what we call the gospel, which is the good news of great joy for all people, that we have a savior. That all of mankind, even though sin entered the world, from the very time that that happened in Genesis chapter 3, he unveils a plan of salvation to rescue us from sin. It's the gospel, the good news of the great joy for all people that we have a savior. I love in that verse how towards the end of there he talks about an heir. An heir is a person that's legally entitled to the property or the rank of another. And that's what you have in God as his child, if you know Jesus in the room. So the first point I want to mention today is Jesus saves you from something. All right, I'm going to very quickly read three verses. They're right there in your notes. Galatians 4, 4 through 5, which we just read. But when the right time came, God sent a son born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who are slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as very own children. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, not a single person on earth is always good and never what? Sins. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So Jesus saves you from something, and this won't be in your notes, but you can write it down. You are saved from sin. All God's people said, amen. We're saved from sin. Through Jesus, we are saved from the consequences of sin, which is death, which is separation from God. We have been saved from that. His sacrifice offers us the gift. I saw Pastor Reese, I watched the sermon last week, and he grabbed that present and he threw it back down. The gift of eternal life, breaking the chain of sin's power over us. Did you know that before you met Jesus, if you're a believer in the room, that you had a different master and there was the power of sin over you, but when you said yes to Jesus, that he delivered you from that power? Colossians 1:13 says it very clearly, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we were living a life of darkness. We had a master that was not God. It was the enemy. But when you say yes to Jesus, I'll follow you for the rest of my life, you are now delivered from that. You're pulled out of that darkness and you now are in light. His light. The light of the world. And so when I see Christmas lights all around, I don't necessarily think of Christmas like Santa Claus, but I see glorious lights. Those lights remind me of where I've been rescued from darkness now to light. So next time you see lights for Christmas, like look around the room right now, understand what that represents. It represents you are now people of the light. What a great representation all around Tucson, all around Phoenix, and people have no idea. But we do. It's the light of the world. Jesus rescues us from spiritual darkness, guiding us into his kingdom of light. Through his salvation, we are no longer bound by the shadows of sin and separation from God. So you're saved from sin. You're saved from yourself. All right, here's the second thing you can write down. You're saved from yourself. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Can you feel the struggle right there from the apostle? You feel the tension of grace and truth. I want to do what's right, but I feel like my sinful nature just draws me back, and so there is a struggle there. But here's the deal. Jesus saves us from our natural sinful nature. He also saves us. Here we go. This is good right here. This is good. This is get somebody on their feet right now. He saves us from the weight of guilt and shame. He saves us from ourselves. Thank you, God. Because if it was up to us, we mess up a lot. Let's just be honest. But God, in his truth, his grace, and his mercy, he says, I still love you. You're still my child. And I have rescued you from yourself, because we have a sinful nature. But he's like, I'm going to make you new. So we're saved from ourselves. Thirdly, you can write this down. We're saved from the enemy. Did you know that there's a battle going on, if you want, per se, behind the scenes in a spiritual realm that none of us can see? There's a battle going on between goodness, light, and darkness. There's a spiritual battle where the enemy, we have an enemy, y'all. Okay, it's real. It's not a cartoon character. A little red guy with horns and a pointed tail. It's a lot more serious than that. We have an enemy that wants to destroy your life. He wants nothing more than to destroy all the good in your life. He wants to see you completely separated from God for all eternity. That's what the enemy wants. Colossians 2:13 through 15 is an amazing verse. It says, you are dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed. Here we go. I want you to hear this. In this way, this is great news right here. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them. Here we go. On the cross. So that enemy, he's already shamed them. We already have the victory through Christ. because of what he did on the cross. He saved us from the enemy. What am I going to tell you? He's always fighting. He's always after us. He's looking for someone to destroy. So we have to be alert and ready to give an answer at all times and know and understand the enemy wants to devour you, the Bible says. It literally uses the word devour you. He wants to end everything about you. But we don't give him any credit in the room because we have a Savior that saved us from him. We have victory over the enemy through Jesus' work on the cross. He disarmed the evil and dark spiritual rulers and triumphed over Satan. We live in victory through Christ. We live in victory through Christ. It's nothing that we can do. It's not how awesome we are. It's only because of him. And when we focus our eyes on him, we have victory. Knowing it's because of him. It's because of what he did that I don't have to live in spiritual defeat. That I don't have to live in darkness. That I don't have to run scared from the enemy every day, but because of him, because of what he did, Jesus, I have victory over the enemy. So our first point today is Jesus saves you from something, sin, yourself, the enemy. Secondly, Jesus saves you for something. We're going to jump right into the scriptures. Psalm 118:5. The psalmist says, "In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and he set me free." Does it sound familiar, anybody? "And he set me free." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Bad news. "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The good news of great joy to all people. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ who," this is good, "he never sinned." Because you know, if he would have sinned just one time, he would be the biggest liar in history, the biggest deceiver in history. But the scriptures say, "Who never sinned?" to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So we're saved for something. We're saved for freedom. Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So what is he talking about here? Well, he's provided the freedom for us. But there's many times we try to go back to what the law says. In other words, we make up traditions. We make up regulations. We take the scripture out of context. And we live in guilt and shame because of it. And what he's saying here in the scripture is you don't need to go back to that lifestyle. But you need to live in freedom that comes through me. I've given you freedom. I've broke the chains. Freedom has been provided. See, in the context of this verse, he's talking about when he says the law, okay, 613 Jewish laws. Good luck. Okay, and this is what he's talking about to the Jews in a moment. 613 laws. You're like, man, the Ten Commandments are hard enough. Try 613. It's not going to happen. And he says, don't go back to that. Live in freedom because we're saved for freedom. freedom from the bondage of sin and the law. Now this freedom, it allows us to live in his grace and walk in liberty that he provides. He's freed us from the chains of sin. Our salvation is not just a pardon. Sometimes that's the way we treat it. It's just like it's a pardon. It's a liberation. Freedom in Jesus is a liberation. We find freedom from guilt and power of sin. It no longer rules over us. This is not in your notes. I'm giving you a lot of extra notes today. Saved for freedom to love and to serve. So now I have this freedom. What now? Galatians 5:13 says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Okay, Pastor James, we just established that. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Okay, let me pause there for a minute. Yes, we live in freedom. Yes, we have this liberation, but this does not give us the freedom to go back to our old sinful habits. Okay, so then now you have to rightly divide the word and see what the scriptures say. What are those things that honor God and what are those things that don't honor God? What are those things that he does want me to do that are going to be healthy for my life, and what are those things that are not? So just because you have freedom doesn't mean you go back to the old sinful habits and ways. Am I making sense in the room? Okay, we got to get that straight, because sometimes that's what people do. Jesus has given me freedom. I'll do whatever I want now. It's not what he's talking about. We still live in the guidance of the Word of God. Now, here's what he says. That's a side note, and that one's free. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So, we're saved from freedom. We're saved for freedom to love and to serve. Literally coming out of that verse, talking about freedom, this is what he wants us to do, is to serve one another in love. Church, this is why it's so important for you to do that. It's very simple in the way that he put it. He's calling us to serve and love one another. He's called us to a purpose. You may think, man, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't have a purpose, I don't think. Or I'm still struggling to find out what that is. Jesus said, if you know him, you do have a purpose. He's called us to a purpose, and that's to love others and to serve others. It's an invitation to live selflessly. And by doing that, we reflect the grace that we have received. Aren't you so glad that he showed you love? Aren't you so glad that he showed you acceptance? Aren't you so glad that he showed you grace? I am. And he says, okay, take that, use it for someone else. It's a purpose for you. You're reflecting me now. You're reflecting what I do, what my nature is. Because your sinful nature, but my nature, perfection, grace, love. Point number three, and Jesus saves you by something. A couple verses there. Colossians 2:14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. I want you to picture a courtroom and a judge. What do you see? This person has just been condemned. And because he's been condemned, the judge picks up his gavel. And he's sentenced. Person guilty. Feel the heaviness of that. But what Jesus did for us, he canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away. Here we go. Here's a different sound. By nailing it to the cross. So what we deserved was that gavel and that sentencing of guilty because of sin. Jesus takes that charge and he nails it to the cross. Liberation. Freedom for you because and through me. Man, that's good. And that's how much he loves you. It's an unconditional love, a love that's really hard to understand. But he loves us that much. 1 John 2:2, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. This is a different sound. This is the sound of freedom, not guilt. Sound of freedom. I've nailed it to the cross. 1 John 4:10, this is real love. You want to know what real love? Here it is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Say, so Jesus saves us by something? Yes. You can write this down. We're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast. We can't take the credit. It's nothing that you and I have done. As I said before, he gets all of the credit because he saved us by grace. Our salvation is a result of God's grace. It's not your merit. Believing on Jesus is the key, and it is through God's unmerited favor that we are saved. In the room, how many times has God showed you grace? If you said yes to Jesus, that was a powerful moment. But even after that, even when we still sin, even when we do things that we know are against God, he still shows us grace after grace after grace. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know if I'd be able to handle that, just to be honest with you. But I'm a human being, and he's God. And that's why I serve him, because he loves me. By his grace. Because I'm not perfect. And if we're all honest with ourselves, you're not either. And we fail him more than likely every single day in some way. Remember, 613. Those were just the Jewish laws, all right? So it's a lot. He's like, I got you. I love you. Here's my grace. It's extended to you. Jesus' grace triumphs over our mistakes and shortcomings, which breaks that chain of sin. And grace is not about our perfection, but his perfection that saves and redeems us. Saves and redeems us. We're in a process right now. We're in the process of becoming more like him. Some of you guys are like, man, I just can't get it right. I just keep goofing up. I do things that I know I shouldn't do. Let me read you a verse that's very encouraging. It's from Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Who would say in the room, Paul, biblical hero, guy's amazing. Paul, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, okay, literally, God was giving him revelations specifically to him. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, what does he say? My grace is all you need. My power works best when we're weak. What? Come on, what are you talking about? I want to be strong. He says, what does he say again? My power works best in weakness. That's a different way of thinking. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. In other words, I'll share with anybody. I'll open up to whoever. I can boast about my weaknesses because I know that I have them. And I'm not scared to share it with somebody. Let me tell you about it. Maybe he was telling people because he knew it was going to help somebody else. He says, I boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ, and here's the reason why, so the power of Christ can work through me. So, oh, man, oh, I keep messing up. I'm frustrated. I'm not perfect. I want to be like Jesus. Let me help you. You're never going to be like Jesus, okay, because we're becoming more like him every day. Right, until we eventually see him. So I want to encourage you right now. The Apostle Paul was on the struggle bus at times as well. And so am I, and so on you, and so are you. But here's the deal. You don't give up because we have victory in Christ. Because his grace is sufficient for you. What the enemy wants, who we talked about earlier, is for you to give up. Stop. I'm done. I can't do this. I'm not perfect. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Keep moving on. You're my child. I love you. I care for you. And I got a place for you in heaven. So let me encourage you today. Accept that. Some of you guys, maybe you haven't accepted the grace that he has for you. Accept it, because he's going to make that thing, whatever it is, that weakness that you have, he's going to work in you to impact somebody else. And he's going to become strong because of it. The power of Christ works through you. Live daily in gratitude for God's grace. Our daily walk and routines are sustained by his grace. It's not about our strength, but his empowering grace. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up here. In a moment, what we're talking about today is the good news of great joy. And for some believers in the room, it's a great reminder for us. Matter of fact, if you haven't got excited about the gospel, get excited about it, because it's huge. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Literally, it changes the world. And that's what God, for God so loved who? The world. To change the world, the gospel will. Christmas is the perfect time for the good news to be shared. Because there's going to be so many people who are going to come in the room in the next couple weeks for the very first time, and they're going to say yes to Jesus. And so let me back Pastor Reese up. Who can you invite to that? They're going to hear the good news for the very first time. Excited about the good news. Are you excited that you're saved from sin, yourself, and the enemy? That you're saved for something, freedom, found in Jesus. That you're saved by something. You're saved by the grace of Jesus. Maybe somebody in the room, I don't know, you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never accepted him. I pray today, before you leave, that you would do that. that you'd be able to experience how amazing that is, how your life can be changed forever, that you can have a new life found in Christ. So I'm going to have everybody just go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes. Okay, no one looking around in the room. This is a private time. And here in a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to accept Jesus, this is going to be your time to do that. So if you're like, that's me, Pastor James, I want to do that. Would you just look up at me right now? Just look up at me right now if you want to say yes to Jesus today. Thank you. Would you pray this with me? It's very simple. It's called the simple plan of salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus on the first Christmas day and revealing to me that he's the only way for me to be saved. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. Today, I turn away from my sins in repentance to you, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for restoring me and setting me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I want to do. A couple of people looked at me. Can we celebrate them in a moment right now? That's one of the most amazing things, biggest decisions you'll ever make in your life. This is what it's all about, what I'm talking about today. It's the good news of great joy for all people that you and I, we have a Savior.